This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Soldanela with guest Yarani del Valle, actress, activist, producer, and one of three incredible women who created EcoKit Puerto Rico. She has been working nonstop since September 21st to bring aid and relief to Puerto Rico. She has a lot to say. Listen to her. She's a source. And of course.
So EcoKit is a eco-friendly disaster relief guide list. We are a group of artists and activists and people related to the film industry and theater who live in the diaspora, are part of the diaspora, live in New York, to be specific. And as many of us were very concerned about the island, and when people in New York started to organize and send stuff their way to mm-hmm. Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. We observed that most of the collection sites were gathering stuff that, yes, it was needed to serve an immediate need, like water and batteries, for example. But taking into account that the government has collapsed and the waste management system, it's inoperant, and that before Hurricane Maria, Puerto Rico was already facing an ecological disaster. You know, we were numerous environmental groups had been activated to fight against the forces that keep trying to use the island as a dumping ground for numerous materials. Some of us, one of them, Aris Mejías, mm-hmm. who is an actress, but also an environmentalist and super survival kind of person, you know, she can survive.
She's Lady Onion.
Yes, she's Skin Onion. Mm-hmm. And her line of clothing also takes into account all these environmental issues. So Aris and Isabel Gandia were super concerned and started this list. And then I joined the efforts because of the work I do. It's community-based oriented. I'm an artist who develops art projects and art programs with the community and taking into account the necessities of a community. So we partnered up and we started this list that has the mission to guide the collection sites, guide organizations, and guide individuals and families so that we can do a responsible relief. We can take into account the environmental issues because all the water, all the bottled water we're sending is going to provide drinking water immediately, but afterwards, what's going to happen with all those plastic bottles? Who is going to manage all that waste? Are we going to have to burn them and be part of those ashes that we all know that have been an issue? Is the government going to do something responsible with that plastic? Because right now we don't have that answer, and we know that bottled water is not the answer. We need permanent filtration systems and all of that I can talk in detail. Also with the batteries, we were concerned about all these shipments of batteries that are not going to be handled. We know that are not going to be handled properly once they are discarded. So we started this movement, this list, and trying to convince people that instead of 4 packets of batteries, invest in a solar lamp, invest in a solar chargeable fan. Let's send personal solar panels so they can charge all their electronics instead of sending batteries. And people were like, well, the flashlights, they need batteries. No. So let's send this cranked rechargeable flashlights that don't need sun, neither batteries or anything. You just charge them with manually, with a manual, and with a manual crank. So suddenly we had this list, and collection sites started to respond and say, yes, we're going to use the EcoKid list. Or families said, you know what? Yeah, I'm not sending the water, the bottled water. I'm not sending the batteries. I'm going to use the EcoKid list. And that's what we wanted, to serve as a guide. But because we were also facing the issue of all the shipments being hauled, that were being hauled on the ports and not being distributed to the people in the island and the or community-based organizations, organically we transform also into, well, an organization who delivers, who hand delivers all this help to community-based organizations or nonprofit organizations, organizations that have a that are proven that are working on the ground with the people, and that as of while I speak and while we speak are working person to person with the organization. And we wanted to skip the bureaucracy of going through an organization who will try to distribute this over there in the island. So we said, okay, let's plan, let's keep that that step, and let's hand deliver this EcoKid to the organizations. People ask us, how are you doing it? Well, it takes a village. It's not only Aris Mejia, Isabel Gandia, and me, Yarani del Valle. It's numerous volunteers and organizations in their turn that have pitched in to help us. For example, in the beginning, and mind you that, you know, we only have exactly 22 days of foundation, because our life is, ever since the Hurricane Maria devastated the island, next day we were, okay, thinking, what can we do? Mm-hmm. So we are new, we are reinventing the wheel as we, you know, every day. Right. And I'm correcting, not reinventing, because we are also partnering with organizations that had already done groundbreaking work. But what I wanted to convey is that every day we need to change plans, reorganize. Okay, this didn't work. We should do this. And for us to be able to hand deliver the EcoKids, we turned to a system that I call the Stork system, or El Sistema de Cigüeñas, mm-hmm. Which is humbling, and I'm very proud of, because it's a system moved by the people, that by civilians, mm-hmm. who go to our website, which is ecokidpuertorico.org. They go to our website, and there's an area where you can put your information of any flights you're taking to Puerto Rico, and you tell us the date, you know, the information of the flight, where can we reach you, and either you go to our place, or we go to you, and we give you a duffel bag full with EcoKids that will be delivered to X and Y address, and from there the organization picks the EcoKid. And when I say our location, mm-hmm. is because at first we had my physical address, and all the boxes started to arrive in my address of these items that we have in the list. Mm-hmm. And items started to, you know, my lobby was full of boxes. And administration told me, are you running a business? And I'm like, no, I'm trying to help my island here. But, you know, I understand that I live within a community of residents. And so I took the phone and called Libertad Guerra, who is the director of the Lower East Side Center in the Lower East Side. And they say, we will very much love to partner with you if a location is what you need. And we are extremely grateful to Lower East Side Center and Acacia Network for the support, because right now we have, you know, a physical address, a location that where all the shipments are addressed to. We have an assembly line. We work with a group of volunteers who go every day and help us assemble the kits that are already directed to numerous organizations. But it's a lot of work. It's only three of us. I have Isabel Gandia, who is on the ground and is working mostly with La Brigada Solidaria del Oeste, which is one of our, you know, main locations or main coalitions, I may say, that we have turned to in the west area of the island. Mm-hmm. And because also for us to be able to receive donations, EcoKit is not incorporated. EcoKit is a project, is a collective effort of three activists, and I have to say four because we have Jessica Rodriguez, also known as Jeca or Jeca, who with her activism and her community work has also been crucial to our organization. So it's only four of us, but for us to be able to receive donations, we needed to partner up with a nonprofit organization. And we have we're super lucky to have ICER Caribe, ISER, which ICER stands for, oh my God, I have a lot of information right now. it's a socially ecological research institute of social ecological research, who has been doing an incredible job assembling and building these water filters throughout the island. And not many people know of them, but they've been working for a decade now. And the founders of ICER Caribe, Institute of Socio-Ecological Research, are ambientalistas.
Environmentalists.
And also anthropologists and researchers, socio-economists, and all of them, they have an incredible team who've been doing a super important job in the island, trying to decentralize the management of natural resources. And what they do is empower the communities to manage their water filtration systems and also alternative energy resources like solar energy systems. And they've been very successful in doing that. They've done prototypes. And I have to say, I'm very proud to say that ICER Caribe is one of the organizations that is
helping you.
Well, yeah, they are our...
They're your fiscal sponsor.
Fiscal sponsor. But what I'm most proud is that they are training people in the island and other organizations to giving them the information so they can build their own water filtration systems in the country, in La Montaña, en el campo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super important because we know that government agencies haven't been able to reach most communities in the mountain.
Yeah.
And they've been crucial for these communities.
Okay.
So that is the EcoKid and Icerca Caribe's work right now.
Aside from that, I know that you are in contact with a whole other collective of people in La Isla. Share what you've heard that is happening in the ground as to why the distribution is not helping, and what are other channels that are working of people that are distributing on ground?
So we need to keep in mind that even though this is devastating and this will change Puerto Rico forever, we need to be very proud of el pueblo puertorriqueño,
mm-hmm.
of the people in Puerto Rico, and how they've had the ability to organize in ways that it's like an ecosystem that organically grew and keeps growing on its own without any hierarchy or without any involvement of the government. And I am extremely, extremely impressed and proud of how they've done it. So why is the help not being distributed? I think this is a political issue. It has to do with our colonial status and all the bureaucracy that comes with it, and how all the help needs to go through the channel of everything that has to do with the Jones Act. And that's another program on its own. So what we know is that it's not being distributed by the government. I know that one of the only municipalities that is working in an organized way and that is also helping other municipalities is San Juan. San Juan has been very important to us because one of our shipments got lost, and it was the people of San Juan who got a hold of it in the Coliseo Roberto Clemente. And luckily, they hold it for us and we were able to deliver it. But so because this is not working in terms of the entire island, we had to little by little identify centers. And how I can tell you personally, an EcoKid, that what has worked for us, mm-hmm. and I can share this so other organizations can use this information, is that we've managed to understand more or less how this, how people on the ground are working. I don't like to say, to be extremist and say this is a new social order,
mm-hmm.
but it's an alternate order that is working for the communities. And how it works is that each region has organically identified a location that wasn't affected in such a way that could be home for other organizations, either because the structure was intact, either because the landline works in that center or in that school or in that comedor, or, it's numerous locations throughout the island that the infrastructure, the physical structure, wasn't damaged and that could be usefully for, mind the redundant, I mean redundant, but it was useful for other organizations to meet there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are calling those locations centros de apoyo mutuo or mutual support centers.
Mm-hmm.
In the island, they had a short word for CAM. So every time you hear people saying, oh, let's go to the CAM in Utuado, they are talking about a centro de apoyo mutuo or mutual support center. So we identify some camps in the island that are being the center of all the ramifications of organizations. For example, there's a camp in Caguas where Comedores Sociales is. I know that one of the main members, they don't like, I've learned my lessons because they don't want me to call them leaders. They say they are members. There are no leaders here. We are members. And that's another notion of the collective way of thinking that has been growing in the island very fast. So I know that one of the members, Giovanni Roberto, is a person to contact at the camp in Caguas. And from there, people from Humacao, San Lorenzo, numerous other municipalities near Caguas go there and se suplen. They supply their other municipalities. There's another camp called Brigada Solidaria del Oeste in Mayagüez, and the location is in Taller Libertad. And there's all the ramifications of organizations over there. There's another camp in Utuado that serve municipalities like Morovis, Orocovis, Lares, but the center is Utuado. We have another camp in Atorrey of a restaurant that the owner, they had a landline and they had a kitchen, an industrial kitchen, and suddenly all the student organizations started to meet there. And
La Cucina.
From there it has, that's Cucina also. We have in Rio Piedras, the camp in Rio Piedras is what was Taller C. Mm-hmm. So we have other organizations that work in San Juan and Rio Piedras that are meeting there. Another camp in Santurce, a Casa Taller Agitarte, of a theater company that works night and day with their community. They're also even serving food. And there's another camp in Salinas that works with Arroyo, Patillas. So, there's still other camps that we don't even know of. But at least what we're trying to do is to identify camps in the center, west, east, south, metro area. So that way we can empower their efforts because they are already doing, and not having to reinvent the wheel or, you know, go through channels that we know are going to serve directly the people of our community.
If people wanted to reach out to these camps, how would they go about it? In my cheat sheet, I have a few of them with numbers, but some of the ones that are out in the island, what do you recommend people do?
Well, one of the things we're trying to do is get nonprofit organizations to raise money specifically for the communications. We can talk about that later on, but we'll have it there because I want to really talk about the efforts to rebuild the communications between these people. For La Brigada Solidaria del Oeste, I can give you the phone number of Raquel, mm-hmm. who is taking calls. The thing is that, again, most of them, their phones don't work. Mm-hmm. So we are, some of our efforts, sometimes I am the entire day from 4 a.m. in the morning till midnight, trying to communicate either through Messenger, through WhatsApp, through text, through phone, until I get an answer. So I can give you their phone numbers. I cannot assure you that they will be, that you can reach them. Go through their web pages. There's through their Facebook accounts and write to them through Messenger. For La Brigada Solidaria del Oeste, you can search under Brigada Solidaria del Oeste. I can give you the contact of Raquel, 787-633-0657. For Utuado, you can either go directly to Centro de Estudios Transdisciplinarios de Agroecología, or CETA, how they are called, CETA, Centro de Estudios Transdisciplinarios de Agroecología. And you can reach Paul Deal, 787-245-1999. Again, go to their Facebook pages and try to reach out to these organizations through other ways, because the phones are, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Another contact I can provide is for Cucina, 787-767-9862, and ask for Luis Calderon. In Cucina, there are even organizations from the center of the island who go to Cucina to abastecerse.
Mm-hmm. To replenish, to get stuff, to send
news. To replenish
news.
And mm-hmm. to get stuff, yes. So before we identify the Camino Tuado, the place where we were sending stuff was in Cucina, because they had people that were traveling from Utuado to replenish their organizations at Cucina. For Rio Piedras, I can give you the contact of Taller C, Maricel Robles, 787-367-3869. And for La Casa de Agitarte, Casa Taller Agitarte, reach out to Jose Jorge Diaz, 787-448-3159.
Can you repeat that one, Jose Jorge?
Jose Jorge Diaz, the artistic director of Agitarte,
mm-hmm.
787-448-3159. Also, they work in Santurce and in Boston. You can reach out to their base in Boston that can serve as messengers for them. That would be even better, because sometimes you cannot reach them in Puerto Rico. If you want to reach out Agitarte in Boston, Deimiri Hernandez, 787-226-7248. And those are the phone numbers that I can give you. The other organizations, we literally are, los estamos rastreando. ¿Cómo se dice eso?
Yeah, you're searching for them.
We're searching for them through Messenger, through Facebook, through a friend that said that he was going to meet with the other person at a brigade at 6 o'clock, and so you send messages. So at least if you can reach out to these people that I just mentioned, they can also reach out to other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would like to give information of organizations that we are serving.
Mm-hmm.
And we are more than glad to serve as a liaison for these organizations also. If what you want is to serve in an ecological, responsible way to X and Y organization, please reach out to EcoKit, and we can donate to a specific organization on your behalf,
mm-hmm.
and say, so this EcoKit was sent by this organization, and we can serve as a liaison. You can reach me at 347-454-8532. That's Yarani del Valle, 347-454-8532, EcoKit, or write to us at EcoKitPuertoRico@gmail.com, or go to our website and donate directly to our 501c3 nonprofit organization, ICER Caribe. You can go to our website at EcoKitPuertoRico.org, and there you have all
the list.
Guide,
mm-hmm.
the list of organizations we have already served, and also links for you to donate directly to our fiscal sponsor organization. But going back to organizations that really need our help, and that EcoKit is just only one help, but maybe you have a food organization, maybe you have other links, medical organization that can help. I can tell you that, let's start. I have an alphabetical order, but Agitarte Cultural Works is an organization that is a works. They use art to raise awareness on socially important issues in the communities, and they work mostly with in Boston and in the United States. Right, they work with immigrants, but they also work with communities that are in a economical disadvantage also. So Agitarte Cultural Works, again, you can reach them through the phone I mentioned. We have also Boricua, Organización Boricua de Agricultores, de Agricultura Ecológica. The agriculture is crucial for to rebuild our economy. So please, if you can concentrate in the agriculture, reach out to the organizations I'm going to mention now. Boricua, Organización Boricua de Agricultura Ecológica. Reach out to Jesús Vázquez, 787-607-8788. And you can tell all these organizations that Jara sent you. Boys and Girls Club, they're doing an incredible job throughout the island. I know they've already replenished organizations in Vieques and Culebra who were devastated by the hurricane. And you can reach to Ataveira Medina, who's the Director of Government Relations in Puerto Rico, 787-360-7485. Or Patricia de la Torre, Directora de Desarrollo y Recursos here in New York, 787-691-2690. Boys and Girls Club is doing a massive job. Casa Protegida Julia de Burgos, let us not forget our mothers, our abuelitas, nuestras mamás, nuestras amigas, who were in a difficult situation with their kids in shelters, or who were in a situation that now they need even more help from us. Casa Protegida Julia de Burgos, 787-242-3056, 787-242-3056, and reach out to Yvette Del Valle, who is the executive director over there. Another incredible group who are leading the efforts in the solar power. The solar power initiatives for the entire island is Casa Pueblo. In Casa Pueblo, Arturo Masol is one of the directors. You can either write to them at arturomasol@gmail.com, ArturoMassol, or call them at 787-324-9053. Casa Pueblo, please, people that have contacts with organizations or companies that can help the island to restore the power grid into a solar one, that would be incredible if we can use this sad situation to rethink how we were doing the stuff before the hurricane. It's important to think about that. Casa Ruth is concentrating their efforts in the senior centers. And this is an effort that is close to my heart, but because as you know, Soldanela, I work with Pregones Theater mostly in the senior emotion program. Mm-hmm. Besides being on stage as an actress, my efforts are all directed to the Seniors in Motion program, a program that Pregones has been doing long before I was integrated into the company. And Casa Ruth is working only with the senior centers. Well, you can reach out to the director, Helen Ceballos, at 787-207-2413, and you can direct your efforts to that population who is in need of food, of energy to connect their medical equipment, IV units. We managed to deliver some IVs that CDMD donated to us, and we had to go to New Rochelle to get them. We're thankful to CDMD, and thanks to them, Helen was able to deliver those IV units. But we need more. You know, there's so much we can do alone. We need all the help we can get. Another collective that is working on the grounds for the agriculture is Colectivo Agroecológico Siembra para Todos y para Todos, para todas y para todos. They are located in Orocovis, and you can reach out to Maria Alvarado, 787-245-1999. Colectivo Vuelta Abajo in Mayagüez. Oh my God, Vuelta Abajo, one of my heroes. They are a theater company based in Mayagüez, and they are part of the Brigada Solidaria del Oeste, but they are also doing plays and trying to
entertain,
you know, entertain our youth and our children while their parents are trying to open roads and working for the community. We need people like Colectivo Vuelta Abajo, who, I'm going to say it in Spanish and you translate, pero ellos han tomado la responsabilidad, todas estas organizaciones culturales, de repente, además de hacer el trabajo cultural, han tomado la responsabilidad de atender nuestra población de niños y jóvenes.
That's beautiful. So basically what they've done is appropriate and taken responsibility to provide care and then also entertainment for youth and the kids. And that's amazing.
That's amazing, because while we need a responsible organization to take care of our youth while the adults are doing what they have to do to rebuild the country.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think about cultural organizations, people think, oh, that's not that important. It's entertainment. No, these organizations are educating.
Mm-hmm.
The plays they are performing are not superfluous plays. Are plays that educate with information, practical information that these kids need. Like, for example, now they need to be informed about the precautions they need to have when collecting water stop the epidemics that are now actively spreading in the island. So when you think about cultural organizations, think about the ramifications and the implications that those organizations have with After Maria. So one of these organizations is Colectivo Vuelta Abajo, based in Mayagüez.
Mm-hmm.
You can call one of their artistic directors called Eury Orsini. His phone number is 787-951-9360. We have also student organizations like El Llamado, who were super active in the student, la huelga del 2010 y 2017. So here we have Xiomara Caro, 787-438-9361. And I am not giving you exact addresses, because the criminal and the security issue is real.
Mm-hmm.
If you send a generator to a facility and you post on Facebook the exact address where you sent that generator, you're putting in danger the community that is working in that location. Why? Because, as we know, there's no power grid. There's a lot of gangs at night that are taking the opportunity of Maria to do their stuff, you know, to rob and to do stuff that is not very, is not conducive to any... the well-being of anybody. So be mindful when you post your efforts. Some people have criticized, wow, why aren't you posting where exactly did that get to? Well, we're posting the organization, and the organizations are being there because they're super happy. They're posting, yeah, we got an eco kit, but I'm not posting the address because I'm putting them in danger. So that's for you to understand why we need to be also very careful about that. El Llamado is an important organization because these are not tirapiedras, you know, or revoltosos. These are student organizations that are crucial for the reconstruction of our country. These are the future professionals and intellectuals and scientists and teachers of our country. We need to support their efforts because they are doing an incredible job in La Montaña and in the area, in the metro area.
This is so beautiful. How do you feel, Jarani?
Well, I don't have time to. I haven't had the time to. I don't know how to say to. Quejarme, to complain a lot, because the tough job is over there in the island. I'm just like a robot trying to, you know, day by day do my tasks. And at the end of the day, which is very late, because we try to maintain communication with the diaspora in the West Coast. So that means that sometimes I have calls at 1 and 2 a.m. in the morning because it's another time over there in the West Coast. I cannot, if in the island they see us, the diaspora, complaining or hysterical, it's going to affect them very much. So I just try to be as productive, as practical as I can. That my heart is broken. Yes, it's broken because a lot of the disaster that is going on right now is man-made. It's not Maria. It's caused by the inefficiency of some government officials, inefficiency of
the government.
Federal government also. Yeah, we need to hold them accountable for this. Because FEMA...
they have not delivered.
They have not delivered, and they had the power and the facilities to do their job. And all the responsibility is in the hands of the pueblo, of the people, which is great in one sense, because a lot of people that weren't even politically active in another time suddenly are realizing that the future of Puerto Rico is in our hands, not in the hands of any politician. And that's positive because people are waking up from a dream that was sold to them. And that it's not even a dream, it's a lie. Because dreams at least have the opportunity of being... cumplirse, of being fulfilled, but lies are not fulfilled. Lies are, it's information that is inexistent. It's inaccurate information. So as a person who really believes in the sovereignty of countries, in the right of any country to govern itself, I am super aware that this is an opportunity that the island of Puerto Rico has to wake up. It's a sad situation how we're going to, you know, it's a nightmare also because people are dying and people have died But if we can have something positive coming out of this situation, is that waking up and realizing all the lies that the colonial status has, you know, sold us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's if it serves us for that purpose, so let it be. And again, there's a lot of organizations that we've already made ground contact with. I can tell you that EcoKit on its own has hand-delivered to 40 organizations. And this is only, you know, a couple of people here, a collective working here and there. So if you want to reach out to us and you are from another town that I did not mention, please call us and we can connect you with all those organizations and to serve as a bridge, as a liaison, because the more we know, the better. Because the key here has been decentralizing the efforts and trying to get directly to the community. And that's what's been saving lives. Because every time we talk to the Centro de Periodismo Investigativo,
mm-hmm.
or Investigative Center for Investigative Journalism,
mm-hmm.
the leads on stories they're doing are
yep.
devastating
yep.
to listen to. I can tell you, I can assure you that there are more than 200 people dead
mm-hmm.
In the island, and that some of our camps have, you know, told us through phone of people, part of their camp, Centro de Apoyo Mutuo, who have had to bury people in the backyards. And this is not a Stephen King novel or a science fiction script. This is real people. People have had to bury their loved ones. And there are more than 200 people dead, and there are 113 disappeared. And the
registration.
The registration is not. It's not. No están catalogando. Are not identifying some of the deaths that's related to the hurricane.
Mm-hmm, they're not cataloging it as a.
Yeah, they are not categorizing them as. Related directly to the directly related to the hurricane, because you know, people, families, organization had to manage those bodies on their own. So it's like, oh, you tamper with that, we cannot categorize that death as hurricane related. And this is a humanitarian crisis. You cannot leave dead bodies over. You know, hanging out over there.
Mm-hmm.
I can assure you there are more than 200 people dead. Raise awareness in your organizations. Reach out to us so we can connect to you, to other organizations on ground. And let's be an example of how the people of Puerto Rico are coming together to rebuild our island in a collective way.
Yeah. And just before we go, Raquel from Brigada Solidaria del Oeste, the number got cut off. Can you repeat her number?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Raquel is 787-633-0657 for Brigada Solidaria del Oeste. I can also tell you that from Colectivo Vuelta Abajo, Eury Orsini, can connect you directly to Brigada Solidaria del Oeste, and that is 787-951-9360.
Mm-hmm.
And they are working, these organizations meet daily.
Mm-hmm.
So you can reach out to them.
They will. Daily.
They don't have a free day, or they don't.
Yeah,
they work even Sundays.
They're on it. Okay. Thank you, Yarani.
Thank you, Soldanela.
Okay.